end a prayer that was sad. Just rock the place out. All right. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 17, please. Oh, my goodness. I might pull a Kenny. I'm not sure. You know, Kenny, we're rotating our service, our weeks now. I'm going to try to finish all this in 1 week, Kenny. I promise. So you can be on for next week. I'm trying. So. But I don't know if, did you ask if there are any visitors? I see some faces I don't recognize. Is there any visitors this morning? Yes, I just want to welcome you guys. Thanks for coming out today. I realize there's some faces I haven't seen before. Thanks for coming out. And if you'd like to, we can probably get you a visitor card. And what we do is we take that information, we put it in, and we sell it to all those people. That's how we make our extra money, is we sell your information. We do not. Actually, if you'd like to fill out one of those cards, there should be in the seat backs ahead of you. And if you wouldn't mind, we could drop it and give it to an usher as you leave today. Thanks. All right. Matthew 17. Let's start at verse 14. Oh, you're already up there. Oh, you're on it. All right. And when they come to the multitude, there came a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore and vexed. And oftentimes he falls in the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. And then came his disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast them out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say on that mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, these kind go out through prayer and fasting." We've read this exact passage in Mark. We've read, obviously, the "Speak to the mountain, shall be removed. You shall have whatever you ask." And we understand that the principle of faith that we've been trying to preach and teach and believe for in this church is something that is getting in us. But it needs to, this morning, I'm going to stop trying to get it in us. But I want to just share a part of this scripture here. That faith is already in you. What are we doing with what is already in us? So let's look at that. It says, unless if you, verse 20, because of your unbelief. He says you have unbelief in here. But he said, but if you have a faith of a grain of mustard seed, you should be able to speak to mountains and say, "Be removed." Just that much faith. Well, I got good news for everybody in the room. Jump over to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to have you walk out with one truth today that I hope that you get into your gut. And this is, unfortunately, I'm starting at verse 3 because verses 1 and 2 are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture about having our minds renewed in truth. But verse 3 says, "For I say to you, through grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, humbly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith." Now, who's left out of that? Nobody. Every single person has been given a measure of faith. Okay, you know, Ephesians chapter 2. Go over just a couple more books. Ephesians 2. And we're going to start verse 4 here because I saw 8, and 8's the verse I want, but I want to start verse 4 because I really want to start verse 1, but I'm going to just keep on focus today. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love over he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together in Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had foreordained that we should walk in them." Verse 8 says this, "For by grace you were saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself, that was a gift of God." So I really believe this, and I believe this with all my heart, that every single person has been given a measure of faith in this world. And that's how we came to a place of understanding who Christ was, and we put faith in that person. We confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. That's how it says through faith, the confession's made in Romans 10. And through the faith of our confession and the faith of believing, we have received eternal life. That's how salvation comes. I think today, if you start studying, and this is where Kenny and I have had so much fun, our men's group has so much fun, we're talking about all the different, you know, theories out there about the pre-Adamite world and all these things. But there's one thing that we know for sure, that in the beginning, God created. God is the creator. There wasn't a Big Bang theory where all of a sudden a frog jumped out and became a monkey, which became a man. The Bible clearly says that each kind reproduced after their own kind. A monkey did not become a man, and a frog did not become a monkey. And I don't know what else. A fish didn't become, I don't know. They reproduce after their own. I'm not saying that humans don't kind of look different after years of being in certain climates and stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something comes from nothing and becomes something totally different. I don't believe in that because I have faith. But you know what? I believe personally that the science world has more faith to believe in evolution than I have faith to believe in creation. There are a lot of facts and scientific truths out there that confirm exactly that there was a time when the world was covered by water. Because they saw a fossil level that was... There's so much fact and science out there to prove creation, but they do not want a science. And one of the greatest quotes I've ever said that I read 20-something years ago in college was that Stephen Jay Gould, which was, I don't even know if he's even alive today, but I just keep quoting. I probably should Google and see if he's even... But he used to... run a magazine for paleontology. It says, we believe there was some merit to what we've read in the Genesis account, but we will not have a science that begins with a deity. Well, it doesn't matter what the truth is. We're not going to have a science that begins that way. Yet my science begins that way. In the beginning, God said he created it, and I believe he created it. And so we have all faith to believe something. I choose to believe God and his word. And so every single person in this room has been given a measure of faith. What you do with that faith will determine the outcome of everything you choose to live in. I believe it affects your finances. I believe it affects your physical bodies. It affects your eternal salvation. Faith determines where you're going to go in the next phase of your life. That's how important. And that's why when Paul says Romans 10, it says that the word of faith which we preach to you, that he is teaching us a lesson of how faith is imperative for every believer to walk in their victory and their calling. Now, with that being said, what are we to do and how are we to increase faith? If every single person has faith, right, everybody has been given a measure of faith, why are some people walking in greater levels of it? Why do people, we see some people over here being able to, boy, you call them on the phone or you talk to them and they just seem to not be shaken no matter what. They seem to be, boy, you talk to that person, and you know, and I tell you, there are people in my life that are pillars and that I are elders in my life that I pray for. But I know when I'm going through a trial, I always pick up the phone and call one person. So does Kenny. We both trust Mark and Deb to a point in my life where I can call and I know they'll stand with me. Even when they're going through stuff, they stand. I don't care what you're going through in your life. Are you standing on the word? Are you going to release faith in a circumstance, or are you just going to let your circumstance rule you? I've had days. This week, it was one of these weeks, I was in Illinois, and we were over there doing some stuff, and I was in a hotel room, and it was about 7 o'clock at night, and I was just hitting a wall. I just called the guys, listen, you guys are on your own. I'm staying in tonight. I got to rest. And when I was telling someone the other day, I said, I realized where I was in my life was I had to sit back because I was running myself. So between being here and being there and running all over the place, I just needed a break. And I could have kept pressing in, but where I was, I prayed and I had a peace. It's best for you right now to stay. I know that if I didn't obey that voice, and I would have probably opened myself up to wear myself down too thin. And I know that because that was the voice of the Lord protecting me. And we understand you have to live by faith. When you hear God every day, it requires us to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So how do we increase faith? Let's go to Romans 10. been sharing. I was talking to someone last Sunday after church. We were out to lunch with some friends. We're down in Bloomington, and I was talking. They don't go to church here, but we were talking about they're Christians, and they said, "Well, tell me what kind of church? If you're going to put, you know, they've known me for a long time. How do you label the church? Because, you know, they were talking about different churches they were affiliated with." I said, you know, I really don't like to put a label on it because in this town, you say Pentecostal in Michigan, where I'm from, they just thought you believe in the Holy Spirit. But you say Pentecostal in Martinsville, they think you know it's the United Pentecostal or whatever. So I hate labeling it. But I said the closest understanding I have of what I believe is I believe the Word of Faith message resounds in so much of our teaching here. And the reason being is when we understand the Word of God builds faith, it changes lives. It encourages you to live a life that's different. I'm here to challenge you today that we've been preaching and teaching for years on what faith does. Faith is something that hopes for. Everything's not seen. Faith moves mountains. Speak to that mountain. The power of your words. But have you ever I'm encouraging you today that I want you to take the faith and I want to see you increase in your faith. And I want to give you three ways this morning. As you walk out of here in a few minutes, I want to give you three ways that you can increase your faith. Number one is the verse you see right there. So now faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. If we're going to be people who want to live in faith, we're going to increase our faith. We've got to know the Word and get the Word in us. What does the Word say about finances? Don't worry. It says, my God shall supply all my need according to whose riches? His riches. That's my God shall supply. Who's the supplier? Your employer? They write the check. But who's your ultimate supplier? Where is your faith in? My faith isn't in the paycheck. It's in the God that supplies. And I am grateful for the paycheck I get on Friday. I'm grateful for the money that comes in. And I am not dishonoring my employer one bit, but I'm honoring the God who gave me the job. And I'm honoring the God that if the job goes this way, God is still on the throne and he's still my supplier. He says this, that he has given us, and I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, I wrote a bunch down, but he has given us the power to get wealth, it says. Scripture says that. And all throughout the Old Testament, it talks about how if you look at the Jacob and Laban's story and how Jacob went and worked, and ever since he gets on the property, the entire farm goes and prospers and doubles and triples and quadruples, and so much the fact that Laban deceived him to staying longer because he knew as long as Jacob is here, he's like my good luck charm. As long as he's here, I do well. That's how much he deceived him to stick around because the blessing of the Lord was on him so much. Wouldn't that be great if our employers knew the blessing of the Lord that was on us because we're just born again believers, and that's the blessing of the Lord. We are blessed in the city. Deuteronomy 28, we read this. Blessed in the city, blessed field. Blessed when you go, blessed when you come in. I wake up and I'm blessed. I go to bed and I'm blessed. The blessing of the Lord shall come upon me and overtake me. I don't know about you. It sounds like I'm running away. You know, I like football. It sounds like it's a guy running with a football down there and the blessing of the Lord comes behind and tackles you. You can't get away from the blessing of the Lord. And that is what we're promised to as believers. And when you understand that is the nature of our Father, he says, if you ask for bread, will your Father give you a stone? That's not the kind of Father we have. And when we understand that this is the nature of our God, the nature of our Father who wants us to be blessed, who wants us to have the peace in our finances. And he goes, and you know what? None of these things yet is predicated on your giving. This is who he is. I'm not preaching this morning that if you do this, this, and this, that is just part of scripture. If you obey his word, you will walk in the blessing of the Lord. And part of obedience is your tithe. It is offerings. And that's what we read that last week in Malachi 3. How shall a man rob God? By withholding what's God's. If you withhold your tithes and your offerings, you're robbing God of yourself, your blessing. And that's what's so important. We understand this is not about, I say this all the time. I have been in this church for over 20 years. I love it. And every single year we've paid our bills just fine. Last year we hired another person. And you know what? We're doing just fine. We're believing right now that we're not begging for more money. I know this, that the more I give, the more I get blessed. I can't out, because that's the kind of God we serve. The God who doesn't just fill your cup, but he gets your cup overflowing. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give back unto your bosom. Give and it shall be given. You remember that? So this is the nature of the God we serve. But when you now, today, understand that concept about giving and about the blessing of the Lord, when your finances get attacked, what do you do first? You let that ugly giant of fear get in there and worry and anxiety control every decision, and you gotta. You know what I do when I realize that things are off financially? And I did this just a couple months ago, because many of you don't know, outside of church, I also do a business. And I realized, boy, these bills, the money is supposed to be coming in, but the companies that we work for are not paying quite on time. And things got real tight. And what I did at the end of the year was I realized, where are we at on my tithe? Where are we at on giving? And I just went out that next week, and I wrote a check that was probably larger than what would have covered payroll for some of our guys. And I just said, you know what? God's money first. And I'm not going to just preach it to you. I live it. I believe this is this live. I can't outgive God. And I, you know why? Because I could have lived in fear and panic and went, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay? Listen, I'm going to go release my faith right now and I'm going to give. Why? Because that's who I believe in first. I believe the concept is biblical and I want to practice that lifestyle. How about physically speaking? When your body starts getting attacked and your head, your head hurts, this, and all these symptoms start coming your way. There's a time where the enemy does attack your bodies. You know that, right? You live in a fallen world and the attack of the enemy will come in your life. But you know what? We have a word from God that's greater. And when we learn that God's word says, by my stripes, you were healed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is with me. Bless his holy name. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. This is a God, Psalms 103, that we talk about. And when trials come, and with faith, where is your faith going to grow? It's going to grow in those scriptures that you can quote, because they're in you. When the word gets in you, it gives you an avenue to speak and release faith. So if you're struggling in an area this morning, whether it's that, and I keep going to other areas in your life, let me just stop there because I don't want to go on forever. When you're struggling in an area in your life, I want you to open up this thing right here. And this right is all the food you need. In Matthew 4, when Jesus was being tempted, what did he say? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't tempt me with food, because God provides, and every word is my life source. And when we start getting our faith built on that, and we feed our faith with a word, your faith will increase for those areas that you're struggling with right now. Let me encourage you. Number one, if you need areas in your life that are you're struggling in, whether it's financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, I don't care. Go find what God's word says about it and get that in you. That will be the very first thing that feeds your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen? Number two, Jude 20. Those that don't know, we are a charismatic church, and I'm going to go ahead and share this with you right now. This is an important verse for me. Jude 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy of faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Kenny shared this earlier, and they're going through, as you know, our home group is just finishing up Bill Johnson's book, and they're doing John Bevere's book on the Holy Spirit. And as Kenny and I have had a chance to share our notes going back and forth, it's amazing the similarities between some of the things we're even doing in our own books. But they have been encouraged so much about who the Holy Spirit is in our life. He's not an it. He's not just something that comes in the room. He is God. And he is to be honored in our lives in such a way that we give him not just permission, but we give him first place in everything. He is God. And as he was sharing this morning, that what marks us as children of God is that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And as a believer today, and I do, one of my pet peeves is when I started getting around, because I remember I grew up Baptist, and I grew up very fundamental in the word, and I still love that teaching, and I will not. I'm so grateful for what I grew up in. But one of the things I could not understand is when I started going to these charismatic churches, man, they'd run up to the altar and they'd start getting someone praying for them. And, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I thought you were already saved. And I was just so confused. Every single week, the people would run up to the altar. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm like, how? What? I thought my Bible says you received the Holy Spirit of promise when you were saved in Ephesians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is God in you. When you're born again, how are you born again? God chose to make a part of him become a part of you. And now you're the seed in you from God is his Spirit living inside of you. And then, so this encounter we're talking about here is something totally different. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost, which we believe, is a time when you go and you surrender yourself to his power, his lordship, and he baptizes you with power from on high, which we talk about in Acts 2. And then Acts 4, Acts 6, Acts 7, Acts 9, Acts 11, and Acts 18. All of those are different places in the scripture where they talk about the Holy Spirit coming upon them again and again. And then if you look at Ephesians 5, is be filled, keep being filled, 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 filled. It's a lifestyle of staying filled with God's Spirit inside of us. And we have to continue to allow him to have that place in our life. Because when he does, it builds your faith. The Holy Spirit will build your faith. He will bring remembrance to things in your life that you don't remember. He'll remember scripture that you were taught 5 years ago. And the Holy Spirit will bring that to remembrance. And boom, out of your mouth, you begin to speak the word. Like it says, and we talked about a couple weeks ago in Ephesians 6 about the word becoming rhema to you. The written word becomes life and it becomes a sword that you use to combat anything that comes against you. It's the word, and now it's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 29-30 says, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for intelligible words. So we believe, I believe, one of the things that gets me, and as I was sitting, and I was sitting in a hotel room, and I began to feel some fatigue getting on me. The first thing I did, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as I prayed for a while, and I got my spirit building up my faith, I built myself up, then I began to release the word over my circumstances and over everything else going on. And I'm not saying this is a mathematical equation. I'm saying I built myself up so I can get myself to a place where I can war. And there are times where we wear ourselves down. We get ourselves to a place where we don't have the ability to war like we want to. That is when you cry out and you ask for God's Spirit inside of you to rise up and build your faith back to a place where you will get out there and release the word again. Folks, we live in a world that we make bad decisions. We let ourselves get down. The enemy comes in and we don't take the thought captive or whatever. And next thing you know, we're letting fear and worry, anxiety, depression, sickness, whatever it might be coming at us in all these different realms. And now when you get to that point, this is my encouragement. Switch gears and get in the Holy Ghost. Stop fighting in the natural. You will not win that battle. You can, you know, there are people, and I'm telling you, I love y'all, but I listen to some people. Because I know you're trying so hard, but today I'm giving you one more tool to put in your tool belt. I hear you. And the word says this, but the next words out of your mouth are contrary to what you just said. Anybody ever get that? Oh, the Lord says I'm more than a conqueror. I don't feel that way right now. He says I overcame six disease, but I feel really sick. You see, what happens, you're saying the right thing, but your spirit isn't really engaged in that word. And so what I'm encouraging you today is if you want to build faith and you want to get yourself through it, you got to engage not just your words, but your spirit. When your spirit believes the words you're speaking, it brings life and power manifesting, and it changes you on the inside. Because when my spirit comes up and gets alive, and it says like rivers of living water, that's the Spirit of God. When the rivers of living water comes, it just gets rid of all the dead. It gets rid of all the stuff that's tainting you and getting you down. And then your mind gets renewed in the word, and then you become a different person. So how do we build our faith? Number one is we get the word in you, because without the word, you can't do anything. He is the word. He's in you, the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word. But then how do you build your faith? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray, get to a point where your spirit is so in control and ruling over yourselves that the flesh has been completely crucified, and you allow your spirit, man, to rise up and you become victorious. You all catch this? This is a very, very, very spirit-filled church, word of faith church. Here you go. They marry together and become a spirit-filled, faith-driven, demon-casting out, healed person because you understand your concept are not over here. They're not contrary. They go together. A spirit-filled believer is a faith-filled believer. And a spirit-filled believer learns to use the message of faith in a way that has caused it not only to be a weapon, but a place of safety. It's a strong tower which we can run. And we understand that in his spirit and in his word, we are safe. Now, if you understand those two concepts, the third one is my favorite. Because these two, it's not my favorite. I like the second one a lot too. But go over to Hebrews chapter 5 with me. The third one. So we're talking about building your faith. Number one is faith cometh by hearing and the hearing of the word. Building yourself up in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's number two. So we got praying in the Holy Ghost, getting the Holy Ghost living inside you. You got the word. And what's the third one here? Let's read it. I love this. This is so good. I'm going to let you know something, a little secret. This one was just added this morning. I was in prayer in my office this morning. That's what got me a little late coming out to service as I was writing this one out. I was just going through my notes, and something just seemed off. And I was just going to use the two, and I was going to close out with the scripture. I'm going to close with still, by the way. I'm still going to close. But there was just something in me that was just missing. You know what? A good, solid sermon needs 3 points. And I couldn't find it. No, just that's not why. I was just sitting there, and I thought, there's another thing. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say to me, reason of use. Reason of use. I know there's a scripture. And this is where, once again, the word, there's a scripture that says reason of use. It's Hebrews 5. Let's go there. Verse 11. Verse 10, called of God, high priest of the Lord. No, I can't. I hate cutting into context. You know that. That's just one of my pet peeves. But Hebrews 5, let's go to verse 11. Let's stay there where I said, because otherwise I'll have to preach the whole thing. Of whom we have seen and many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, he's talking to a church that is supposed to be mature. He just was correcting them on some of the things about their flesh, the prayers. And anyways, he was trying to give some encouragement because they were struggling. But verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers has come, you need one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such, have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, and he is a babe. For strong meat, listen to this, is the verse, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The third area that I'd like to share with you, one, you get the word in you. Two is you get the Spirit of God in you. But number three is you got to get it out of you. It's got to be through reason of use. Maturity comes by using it. Hear me out, please. Maturity comes by you exercising your maturity in doing the word of God. We can have faith cometh by hearing and hearing, but it says this in James 1:20, do not be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. A doer of the word will build your faith more than anything else. Kenneth Hagin says it like this. I was reading this the other day. That, well, and I think Mark shares this a lot with us too. Faith is something that has to be sowed out there. Because when you release faith, it grows more. You can't have faith and keep it to yourself. James 2 is full of it. You say, faith, I keep it to myself. No, faith has to have works attached to it. This is where the works mentality gospel has to be destroyed. Because works doesn't get you saved. It doesn't get you any closer to God. Works doesn't make you a better, oh, wow, I'm just supernatural. God loves me more. But we just read in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's what we were created for, which were prepared for by God beforehand. Every single one of us, tomorrow morning when you wake up, or it's not too late, maybe even today before you get out of here, you can ask the Holy Spirit, I want to do the work of the Lord today. There's something in me that can be done through me, and I want to release my faith for that today. When you wake up in the morning, are you releasing your faith that you can release it to change not just your life, but the ones around you? By reason of use, they use their faith, and that's what matured them. You know, one of the greatest stories, when you're in a struggling situation, if you can release your faith, it will grow your faith more than if you step back and did nothing. The greatest area of weakness and struggle in our lives is when we know up here what the word says, but we don't get it in here, we don't get it out here, and it doesn't change around us. And you know, you know what? There are people in this room, I talk to you, even myself. Well, you know what the word says about your circumstances, but you're not doing it. You're trying mentally maybe to say something, but by then you really don't believe in your heart. And that's why when I love Romans 10 so much, Romans 10 might be the sinner's prayer that we all talk about. But to me, it's the dynamic view of how faith is created in human beings. It wasn't just you get saved by you know, believing in your heart, Jesus Christ, and you're saved. He says, no, with a heart a man believes, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. It showed us how to release faith. You get it in your heart and you release it through your mouth. That's how salvation was made, but that's how faith is released. And some of us in the room, if you're honest with me, you're struggling. Attack is coming from the right, coming from the left. And deep down, you know in your mind what you should be doing, but you just can't get there. And by the time you get enough strength mustered up to say the right thing, your spirit is so weakened and your flesh is ruling over you so much, they become just words that you're stretching. Now, if you keep saying it and speaking, I believe it will change. But most of the time, it's just not working. It's not working. And you feel defeat coming, and the enemy comes in there and tries to finish the job. Depression hits. You withdraw from life. Sickness comes and your physical body becomes out of finances. I can't pay a bill. Now I can't pay my mortgage. And it goes on and on and on. And all these things in our life seem to surround. It all started back here when we allowed ourselves to not take authority over what came in. If we're going to be people who want to change not just our own lives, but the world around us in faith, is we've got to get the word in us. We've got to get God's spirit alive in us, but we've got to sow our faith. We've got to use our faith. You can't just say you got it. What does James say? Show me your word. Show me your faith. I'll show you my works. Faith without works is what? Dead. Folks, I don't want to be a dead church. I want to be a faith church. You see a difference? I want to be a faith church. A faith church believes and does the word of God. It does the will of God. Faith must be released. Please, I'm not trying to condemn anybody in my own life. I'm preaching this week because I called my wife that night. Was it Wednesday night? I called her and said, I'm staying in. I'm hitting a wall. And I could have tried to fight through it and, you know, got to the job and go the guys would do and act like I was working with them and then just kind of go back. Or I could have just said, listen, you guys know what to do. You go work. I'm going to rest. And that to me is where my faith was. My faith, some of you in this room might be a little bit more mega faith than me. It could be. I'll arm wrest you later, maybe. But my faith was there, is to stay and rest because my body was telling me it was tired, it was weak, and I rested. Others said, you know what? They would have got up and you would have got a word from God, fight on, press on, and go. Then you do that. One of the greatest lessons I learned was years ago. For, you know, people ask me all the time, so are you against going to doctors? Not one bit. Not one bit. I am against anything you do that's not of faith. If your faith is that you can go to a doctor's office and they can give you what you need to get you through it, then you know what? Then you go do that. I am not here to condemn, judge, or criticize anything that you do in your life. But if your faith is that God has set you free and healed you over here and you don't need, then don't do that. But don't judge those that do. We're not here to judge those that have a different place. Faith is released by you before God. Paul says the best in Romans 15. You have faith, keep it yourself. He's talking about those areas in our life that are controversial. He's talking about what you eat, what you drink, what you do, where you are, your conviction issues. He's, you got faith? Shut up about it. Shut your mouth and let that be between you and God. Your faith is between you and God. And so what you got faith to believe for here, and you think, well, I got faith I can eat, you know, McDonald's every day. You got a lot more faith than I do. My faith ain't there, folks. My faith, I got faith, I could drink 15 Budweisers. My faith ain't with you there. You know, I don't know where, but you know, you've got to get before God, and don't be deceived either, by the way, because if you do think you can eat McDonald's every day, I'm going to probably go ahead and cast a lying spirit on you or something like that. I might work on you a little bit. I might try to encourage you some truth. But your faith is between you and God. Release your faith. Live in faith. But you got to hear God's word. Allow his spirit to activate. Therefore, that kind of just ruined McDonald's right there, by the way. Because I don't think you're going to lie. Those two line up and let you release faith for that. But then you got to release your faith. And this is where a lot of us, I think, come short. God's spirit is moving in you. His word is alive in you. But what are we doing with it? Are we praying for the sick? Are we releasing our faith for salvation for those around us in Walmart or Kroger or in your neighborhood or where you work? Are your finances, when struggles come, are you releasing your faith? This is where you got to pull the trigger. You got to release your faith. I want to close with this scripture right here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is a testimony that I want to be said about every one of us in this room, if you don't mind. I would like this testimony to be about, and if I would, these pages are one to rip every day. I'm going to have to get a new Bible one day. Nah. Before I read this, Father, I ask you right now that those that are sitting in this room today, no matter what they're going through, their faith is being encouraged today by your word, by your spirit in us. And I just encourage, Lord, I just pray right now over everyone that they would walk out of here ready to release their faith, to slay the giant, to see the impossible happen, the mountain to be moved, and the miracle to be seen and manifested in our lives today. I release the faith right now for everyone to believe and receive. They can walk out of here like David slaying the giant. We can slay the giants that are coming our way right now. In Jesus' name. Verse 3 of chapter 1. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you towards one another abounds. Man, I want this to be, anybody like that? That's going to be the testimony of our church. I like that for this church right here. Your faith is increasing exceedingly, exceedingly. Now, I want you to read the context. In just a minute, you're going to find out how their faith increased. Okay? This is why it's so important to read the whole thing. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your faith and patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. How did their faith come about? Persecution came. That's how their faith got exceedingly great. When trials come, when pressure comes, their faith increased and their patience went higher. Rather than our faith decreasing, and this is how, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffered. Seeing it is righteous thing to God to recompense tribulation with them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. That when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that you know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of the power. When he shall come to be glorified in saints, to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Verse 11, let's finish these last two out. Wherefore also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Let me read that again. That God, that all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name, why? That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. What is the purpose of a man living in a woman living in victory? That the God, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. Worship team, I'm finished. I forgot to tell you that. That was my last scripture. But the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. That he would receive glory. Not that you walk around and go, man, that Adam or that Kenny or that person, that guy, boy, look at their faith. No, it's not about, the faith is not the pillar we rest on. It's the king that gets honored and observed. According to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, the name of our Lord Jesus is glorified and magnified because of your faith. Remember, the world is looking at you, and they're seeing you and your response to trials, to tribulation. And the word says, I love this, when Paul, rest with us in the word. Rest with us. That goes back to, I won't go through Hebrews 4, but it says the rest of the Lord. We're living and resting in the finished work of what he did for us. Jesus said it is finished, and now we can rest in that. And our faith is in that today. So I want to encourage you as I close this morning. This is a testimony that I want to be said, and I'm going to read this over just these two verses. I am thankful for Spirit Life and the people that are here right now. And because your faith grows exceedingly. How did it grow? He showed you how it growed. When trials came, you didn't give in. When persecution came, you didn't allow it to destroy you. You pressed in. And it says this, and the love of everyone. So when trials came, what'd you do? Rather than scatter, you came together. A church, the church, that's being under attack by the world and by the policies of the world. And all the things about what is marriage, what is gender, all these things that come our way, what is truth? There's one truth. Jesus, I am the way. I am the truth. And anyone who wants to go to heaven has to go through the life, Jesus. You want eternal life? John 14:6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And so there's the world around us is teaching us there's different ways. There's different, you don't have to be married anymore. You can have this. You can like it. There's one truth. It is God's word. And we're being persecuted, but when the church gets persecuted, what do? We come together. We come together and we love each other more. We don't attack each other, we love each other. We don't allow ourselves to get independently to ourselves and withdraw. Instead, we go and embrace the love of other people, and under attack, we come together. Our faith increases, our love increases. And that, so that, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution because of what you endure. That's my testimony this morning. I want to be a church that is living victorious. We have the word in us. Our spirit is being renewed by his spirit. We're praying in the Holy Ghost, renewing ourselves from the inside out because the pressure is coming from the outside in. Get yourself in your new man renewed in the word and by your spirit. And then, my goodness, release it. Go on and release your faith today for somebody or something. If you hear a bad report today, would you just do it? Release your faith for that? Faith grows by releasing it. Amen? Let's use our faith. Let's be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, lest we deceive ourselves. And then James goes on to say in the next verse that it's like a man who looks in a mirror, and when he walks away, he forgot what he looked like. That we can't let that be our faith. That can't be the testimony of our faith. We look in a mirror and we remember what we see and we believe that we have received already the word. I want you to look in a mirror, and if you go in there and you see yourself as sick, I want you to look in that mirror and believe you're healed. Why? Because God's word is greater than your circumstances. When you see your neighbor, you know, one of the things I would encourage you, if you do me a favor, and I promise I'll close with this, I promise. I'm not going to lie to you. I struggle with some of the people that expel hate around us in the nation we live in. And some of the Hollywood people, we'll call them people because I'm going to be really nice today. That's not the word I normally use. some of these people in Hollywood that portray a message of that we're the haters because we believe the way we believe. I'm going to ask the Lord to give each one of us a compassion because that's faith too. I want one. Remember Stephen Baldwin, anybody? I don't know where he is with the Lord now. But Stephen Baldwin, he was a Baldwin brother, like his other one that's on the other one, that other guy. But Stephen Baldwin got radically saved. His family basically, I pushed him away and think he's a weirdo. And he's a little strange, by the way, if you hear him talk. But he's strange in a good way. He loves Jesus. And he has made a mark in Hollywood. And then they marked him out. I am believing that God will save more of those people that seem to be wretched. And talking this stuff. So next time you see your Yahoo page or whatever news feed you look at on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or whatever you want to poison yourself. I mean, whatever you want to encourage yourself with in the news today. Instead of hatred getting in your heart and anger, which seems to be some of mine, I must be honest. I'm asking for the Lord to give me a compassion. I'm going to release my faith for those people to be saved. It'll mark the world. It'll change the world. I told you this a couple years ago. I made this testimony. One of my biggest struggles was Oprah Winfrey, because Oprah Winfrey came out at one of her shows just a couple years ago and basically said, you know what? I don't believe in that God. I don't believe in Jesus. And how would I ever believe in a God who calls himself jealous? You're supposed to be a God that has everything, and you're jealous. But she misunderstood what he said. He said, I'm a jealous God for you. I'm jealous for you. I'm not jealous. I'm jealous for you. I don't want anyone between us. I don't want any other gods before me. I want to be number one in your life. He is a jealous God. But she misunderstood what he meant by that in his word. But then they've allowed this new age theory. She opens up a new age school, and she got a prominent Christian preacher from my hometown in Grand Rapids, oddly enough, and got him to write a book, and they wrote that book about love wins, and then now he's out there touring and teaching her at her school. And the anger, and I mean, every time I saw those names, I get angry. The Lord has kind of convicted me. Why don't you pray? She's not too far gone. I can still save her. And so that's my encouragement this morning. Is let's not let anger and stuff. Let's pray for these people. Let's pray for God to shake our nation through one salvation at a time. What if one of these people who is so anti what we believe got a hold of the truth of who Jesus was and how much Jesus loved them? Change them. Imagine what God can do through that. That's the faith I'm releasing today. For my physical healing, financial, spiritual, souls to be saved, whatever you're going through right now, let's get the word in us. Let his spirit rise up within us, and let's go release it. Father, we pray right now that we would be a church of doers. We activate today. We activate the power that's within us, the word of God within us, your spirit within us, that we activate it, and now we choose today to be launched out of here, released out of here, believing for the miraculous, believing for souls to be saved, releasing faith for healing, releasing faith for miracles, releasing faith for signs, wonders to follow those that believe. Today, we choose to believe your word and release it today in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand.